Good morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Gimel in Bechoros. We started the new Masechta yesterday. And in the new Masechta, the first parak of Bechoros deals basically with the mitzvah of Petach Hamor. Petach Hamor is a quote-unquote small mitzvah, meaning, as Rashi points out, there's just a little bit of it. So therefore, the Masechta opens up with Petach Hamor. And then afterwards, starting with the second parak, we'll move on to the larger mitzvah of the regular Bechor. Although when you hear today's daf, you'll be hearing mostly about Bechor Behema Tahora, not Bechor Behema Temeah. The mitzvah, as we introduced yesterday, is that when you have a donkey, so firstborn donkey has some element of Kedusha. Hard to say that the donkey really has Kedusha. I mean, I'm not sure if that's the correct way to say it, but...
Why specifically a donkey?
So the Gemara is going to ask that question.
Any animal.
Right? No, for non-kosher animal, it's only the donkey. It's only the donkey. So the Gemara is going to ask that question. I think Daf Hey, I want to say Daf Hey. Okay. I think the Gemara is going to relate it to Yitzias Mitzrayim. That the donkey would, I think so. Okay. Well, yep, I'm correct. Daf Hey, I'm in Bays. All right. Why? Okay, good.
Don't give away
Okay, so if you have a firstborn donkey, so it has something. Well, I don't know what to call it. We'll call it Kedusha. Not really, but it needs to be redeemed. And if you don't redeem it, the imlotif deva arefto. And if you do not redeem it, so then you have to decapitate it, hit it in the back of the neck with a hatchet, and kill it and destroy it. And how do you redeem it? So you redeem it with a firstborn. Firstborn. You redeem it with a sheep. Okay. Okay, and good. So that's the mitzvah. And the first mission that we started yesterday really doesn't even start with the mitzvah. It starts with the exemption from the mitzvah. Meaning, when is there going to be a patur from the mitzvah? So the Mishnah brought in five different scenarios, five different transactions that were discussed in terms of when an animal will be exempt from the mitzvah. Now, the basic idea is that any time that a non-Jew has any type of partnership in the animal... So the animal is going to be the exempt. The firstborn of this animal is going to be exempt from the mitzvah of Petach Hamor. That's the basic idea behind the Mishnah. Concurrently, as I explained yesterday, and as I'm going to explain again right now, concurrently there's another issue going on in the Mishnah, which is that you're not allowed to sell animals to a non-Jew. It is a rabbinic prohibition, asur midrabbanan, to sell any large animal to a non-Jew. Now, the simple explanation, which again the Gemara suggests and Rashi over here suggests, is because the animal was a Shomer Shabbos, while being under your ownership, and now you took it away from being a Shomer Shabbos animal. It's no longer a Shomer Shabbos animal. It's a animal that has to work now on Shabbos. That's the simple explanation, but as we pointed out yesterday, that I'm not sure even if Rashi, it's my speculation. I'm not even sure if Rashi really means that, meaning because it's an animal, it's not a person, and when it's sold to a goy, it's not owned by a Jew anymore, meaning the whole reason why an animal has to keep Shabbos is simply because it's owned by a Jew. But is there really any intrinsic kedusha in the animal itself keeping Shabbos? You know, my kids have storybooks that that suggest there is. But okay. So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah brings down that the reason why is because before you sell the animal to a non-Jew, he's going to want to test drive it, and he may end up test driving it on Shabbos, and that's an iser of mechamer. Of you're not allowed to, in other words, that's your animal now being worked on Shabbos. So because of the test run, because of the test drive, so the rabbis made a prohibition. Okay? And so there, and the prohibition is unilateral. You are not allowed to sell an animal to a large animal to a non-Jew. Do we still follow that issue today? Okay, separate discussion, not for now. Okay, good. That's the basic outline of yesterday's daf. Yesterday's daf went then through... the opinions of Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim, because Rav Yehuda, even in this prohibition of selling animals to a non-Jew, Rav Yehuda has a loophole, has one heter, which is that if the animal shvur, if it's a broken animal, so Rav Yehuda says you're allowed to sell that to a non-Jew, that would be fine, because the whole issue is an issue of working on Shabbos, but this animal can't work, so therefore Rav Yehuda's matir b'shvur, he allows the sale of a broken animal, and the Chachamim says lo plug. No, you're not allowed to sell an animal, period. And then the Gemara turns to a discussion about, okay, how about selling fetuses? Okay, can you sell fetuses to a non-Jew? Which is basically what we're discussing over here. And so the Gemara says it's a question for Rav Yehuda, it's a question for the Chachamim, meaning that really it's pretty much left up in the air. Let's start from the bottom of Beis Hamidbar. We did this yesterday. Let's do it again. The Gemara wants to know now about the sale of fetuses. Now, keep this in mind. When we talk about selling fetuses, we mean basically like this. How do you sell a fetus? Okay, there's a general issue which I talked about yesterday about Davar Shelo Bala Olam. If time will permit, actually going to get to that today because Tosfos brings it up. It's a basic issue. Okay, we'll come back to that in just a moment. But before we get to that issue, simply, how does it work? So the Gemara basically suggests that the way that you formulate this business transaction is through kablanos, meaning that you have an animal, you own the animal, and you give it over to a Jew. Don't transact. In other words, it's not a sale. You give the animal over to a non-Jew, and you say to the non-Jew like this: look, you take care of it, you watch it, right? And any fetuses that are born, we're going to go split on the fetuses, right? We'll go halves on the fetuses. So basically, it's it's venture capital. You provide the capital. In this case, the capital will be in the form of an animal, right? But the animal is be'etzem going to be your animal. But any dividends, all animals that are born, we're going to split. Okay, and the question the Gemara had is, simple, can you do that? Meaning, we know that you're prohibited to sell animals to a non-Jew. So how about this? How about selling fetuses to a non-Jew? Is that also incorporated in the prohibition? And the Gemara points out that we can ask this question according to the Chachamim, and we can ask this question according to Rav Yehuda, meaning the question may take hold for both of those positions. Tashma, we start now in the Gemara, in the four lines from the bottom of the page. Rav Yehuda Omer Amekabla Behema Mina Ovekocham V'Yalda Malanosa B'Shavi V'Nosin Chatsi Dama V'Kohen. If you accept an animal from a non-Jew, and the animal gives birth to a firstborn, now here we're going the other way, meaning the animal belongs to a non-Jew, and he's entrusting you to watch the animal and to take care of the animal, and you're going to split on the fetuses, on any of the firstborns. So the opinion of Rav Yehuda is that firstborn that comes out is half Kedushas Bechor. Because Rav Yehuda's position, which is not our Mishnah's position, which we do not accept La Halacha, as we will finish today's daf by saying, is that even if a non-Jew has partnership in it, it's still obligated in Bechor. What part of it? The interest that's owned by a Jew is going to be obligated in Bechor. So if it's 50-50, 50% of the animal is going to have Kedushas Bechor. And so what you have to do, says Rav Yehuda, is give half of its value to a Kohen. Then the Braisa continues, Vahanosem B'Kabbalah. Now what if you go the other direction? It's the Jew's animal. He gives it to a non-Jew. Af Alpi She'eino Rashai. Now the Braisa says, now you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to do that.
Right.
So here, knas penalty, because you transacted an animal from a Jew to a non-Jew, that's rabbinically prohibited. And because you violated rabbinic prohibition, penalty, knas. And we're talking a lot. Ad asara bedamav, 10 times the value of the animal. The chachamim omrim, now, the chachamim say, kos machi ad ovikochavim, them to ptur min abachora. Now, the chachamim's position in this braisa, the Chachamim basically argue on one point and one point only, which is, it doesn't have Kedushas Bechor. Meaning, as long as a non-Jew has partial ownership of the animal or the fetus, it does not have Kedushas Bechor. That's the opinion of the Chachamim, which is the accepted opinion. Okay, good. But did you see, though, in terms of the prohibition of sale, or in this case, the prohibition of Kablanos, Chachamim didn't utter a word. Meaning, on that issue, they totally agree with Rav Yehuda. You shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have transferred over the animal to a non-Jew in the form of kablanos. So my lava behema, so the Gemara now says, look, what are we talking about? There's a penalty. The penalty is on the animal. And what do you see from here? That you shouldn't have done that. You should not have transferred over that animal to a non-Jew because you're violating the prohibition of mechira, even though it's not a sale. Right? Everyone understand? It's not a real sale going on. It is that you are entrusting him with the animal, and what's going to then end up happening is that firstborn is going to be split, you and him. And even then, the Chachamim said, right? The Chachamim and Rav Yehuda don't disagree about this point. You shouldn't have done that. And because you did that, the Knas is going to be 10 times the value.
We bought the value of the animal, but you can't just take it back. It's his. What do you have to pay for it? What do you have to pay for it?
Okay, agreed. And we're gonna focus on that for a good part of today. Okay?
Could be one.
What's that?
I'm saying it's a Knas, I understand. But it's nothing to do with the value of the animal. I mean, because he can't take the animal back whenever he wants. The Jew, it's his.
Uh-huh.
So I mean, half a minute is, how can he have a half a minute with talking about the animal? Like, I don't understand.
Are you talking about the animal?
Right. Well,
the half a minute of the Gemara right now is that we're talking about the animal.
He's talking about the fetus, obviously. It's obviously the fetus. So I don't see what...
I understand, you see. All right, because you didn't actually sell it to him.
No, but meanwhile, you can use it for Shabbat.
Right. And Phil asked me this question yesterday. It's such a good question. I don't know. I didn't know how to respond yesterday. I still don't know how to respond today. Meaning in this form of Kablanus, which the Gemara is kind of okay with, kind of. Although the Gemara is now suggesting that we're not okay with it.
No,
I'm not supposed to do it. But the Gemara's conclusion is that it really, you know, even then the Knas is not going... Let me just put it this way. Phil asked the question yesterday. It's a really good question. Meaning, I don't understand how it would be okay at all. It's your animal that's going to end up working on Shabbos. Meaning, flat out, the Chachamim should simply say, no way. Okay,
But the thing is, it's a partnership, so you may have stipulated that you cannot work.
Yeah.
Okay,
part of yours.
Perhaps. So my lava, the Gemara says, no, the Knas is going on the fetus. Yeah. Meaning, there was already a fetus inside this animal, and you basically gave it to the non-Jew with the fetus already there. The economic So the Gemara says, and it's clear that that's true, that we're talking about the fetus, we're not talking about the mother, because where does the money go? Meaning, the penalty is you have to give up to 10 times, and you give it to a Kohen. And as Rashi points out, obviously we're talking about the fetus, because if the penalty is on the mother... Why are you giving the money to the Kohen? What business does the Kohen have collecting that money? So the penalty is collected and given to the Kohen because we're talking about the fetus, not about the mother. Okay. True. But what you did is that you gave over the fetus to a non-Jew, meaning you sold the fetus over to a non-Jew.
The fetus has to be a bechor.
Hmm?
To go to the
Kohen? Yeah. Fetus has to be a bechor. That's why the Kohen has an entitlement to the fetus. Okay,
and
so
have a minute, where will the money go?
Yeah, right, in the Havamina, I don't know.
To the goy, yeah.
I don't know, right.
The
Havamina is very difficult to understand. Very difficult. Okay, good. Where are we at right now? So on the issue of the sale of an animal to a non-Jew that we know is prohibited, okay? And despite the fact that it's prohibited, if you do it, it'll create an exemption of Kedushas Bechor, meaning that firstborn animal is not going to have Kedushas Bechor. Okay, and that's true by kosher animals, and it's true by chamor as well. If you sell a donkey to a non-Jew, same result. Again, same prohibition. You're not allowed to do it. It's rabbinically prohibited. But once it's done, it creates an exemption. That firstborn offspring is not going to have the Kedushas of Petr Chamor, the firstborn donkey, and therefore does not need to be redeemed. On the issue of, are you allowed to sell fetuses to a non-Jew? So the Gemara opened up that question in the middle of Beis Amud Beis, and as we now finish the sugya right now, we don't know. We're not sure. If in fact you're allowed to make this type of arrangement of entrusting the non-Jew with the animal and going splitting on the fetuses, is that part of the rabbinic prohibition? Unsure.
Here we're talking about once the cow was already pregnant.
But
if it wasn't,
correct.
Then what?
Then we don't know. Meaning that was the Gemara's question.
Right.
That was the Ibai Elohu.
That's how we don't know.
And we don't know. Right. We don't know.
We know it comes.
Right. Misayel Reish Lakish, Dama Reish Lakish, Amocher Behem Agasal, Vikochavim Konsen Osar, Asar Bedameha. Now, this idea where you sold an animal to a non-Jew, and you should not have done that, and you violated a rabbinic prohibition, so there's a knas, there's a penalty, ad asara bidameha, up to 10 times the amount of the animal, is what you need to... Now, it's totally unclear from the Gemara whether you have to go up to 10 times that amount. What does that mean? Up to 10 times the amount to buy it back?
Up to
10 times the amount to buy it back. So dafka lav dafka. So the Gemara now wants to know, we say up to 10. What does that mean? What if he asks for 11 times the amount?
Right.
What if he asks for 15 times the amount? What does it mean, ad asar? Meaning, are we really capping the penalty, the rabbinic penalty? Tashma dam Rav Yeshua ben Levi amocher abdolo v'kochav v'konsen osa ad mea bedama. So, we're going to quote another statement by Rav Yeshua ben Levi, which is, what if you sell your Eved Kenani? You own an Eved Kenani. Right? Eved Kenani is a slave. non-Jewish slave, a Canaanite slave. Now, he's not Jewish, by the way. In other words, he's Canaanite, which means that once you own him, so he's obligated in mitzvah. So in addition to that, he gets a dunk in the mikvah. In addition to that, he gets a bris milah. I'm not sure if he's so super excited when, in fact, the Jew is the one who purchases him, because that's it. He's kind of Jewish, kind of. Okay, still, also Bekal cannot marry into the Jewish people. But now, what if you go ahead now and you sell him to a non-Jew? So that's a big no-no. You shouldn't have done that. And there's a penalty. And Admeya Bedamav, if it takes 100 times to buy him back, you go up to 100. Now, as Rashi points out, you see over here that when it comes to the sale of an animal, it's up to 10. And when it's up to the sale of an Evakanani, it's up to 100. So we're not just throwing out a number, right? Rashi says, if we were just saying a lot, right? So we'd be throwing out the same number again and again. But the fact that you see that there's a fluctuation in numbers over here, clearly this is meant to be taken literally. So for animals, we're capping at a 10, and when it comes to an Evakanani, even 100 times the amount. His value. Whatever his sale price went, fair sale price of that eved. Shani eved the chol yuma v'yuma mafkele mitzvah. So the Gemara says, well, maybe not. Because an eved may be different, because every single day you're removing him from mitzvahs, meaning he's being owned by a non-Jew, and now you put him in a very precarious situation because he's going to be just simply unable to do mitzvahs, as opposed to when you owned him, right? You Shabbos and Kashrus and, you know, all those good things. Now the Gemara is going to have a slightly different version of this discussion that we just had. Now this second version opens up with, if you sell a large animal to a non-Jew, so the Kenas goes up to 100. Now that's different than the first version. The first version of Reish Lakish only had up to 10. Now, immediately, based on this version, the Gemara jumps on Reish Lakish, the second version of Reish Lakish. Because we just quoted the Braisa, we quoted the Braisa a couple of times, and the Braisa says that if you do it by Kabbalah, right, like a sharecropping, like you give him the animal, not sell him the animal, and you go splits on the fetuses, on the newborns, so we penalize up to 10 times the amount. So Reish Lakish, where did you get the number 100 from? But the Gemara says very simply, oh, that's not a problem. Mechira paskamine, kablan slo paskamine. No, because they're wildly different. When I sell him the animal, so that means I no longer have the animal at all. It's no longer my possession. And now, according to the second version of Reish Lakish, you have to go to extra efforts to buy it back, even if it means buying it back at 100 times its value. If it's just kablanos, so the animal's still really yours. So you're buying it back from him. I guess what you're buying back, I'm just trying to think, I'm thinking out loud right now. What are you buying back from him? I guess his rights.
Yeah, you're not buying rights.
You're right. You're buying back the contract, right? His shares.
Sounds to me should be the opposite, because if you still have the full ownership, so he's going to be working Shabbos, you are sort of a...
Right.
It's not another
you. You keep coming back to that Shabbos issue,
I would have said the opposite.
Right, which is a problem in this whole sugya. Yeah. So, b'dameh b'dameh paskimine, kablan so paskimine. Dafka olav dafka. Okay, good. So, in the second version now, we're holding by 100. If you sell an animal to a non-Jew, so as a penalty, you have to buy back, even if it means going up to 100. Now, here on this number, yes, dafka or lav dafka? So Tashma Dam Rishul Ben Levi Amocher Avdolav Bekochem Konsano Sa Adasar Bedamav. Now here in this second version, Rav Yoshua Ben Levi by the slave is going to go 10 times the amount. So the Gemara says Shani Eved Delo Hadorle. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why in Eved it's only 10 times the amount. It's only 10 times the amount because by an Eved Kenani, when you quote unquote buy him back, you're not really buying him back. Meaning the Rashi quotes the Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara in Gittin says, "Maseches right the Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis Hamocher Avdol Ove Kochavim Yatsa Lecheres." You sell a Eved Kenani to a non-Jew, so really he goes free. Now, when you say he goes free, nobody told the non-Jew who bought him. The non-Jew who bought him is not thinking he goes free, But in other words, he's no longer has the status of Eved Kenani. Now it's basically, how else are we going to say it? It's like Pidyon Shvuyim. It's like here you have now a full-fledged Jew who's being owned by a non-Jew. So you got to buy him back. You buy him back 10 times the amount. But we only go up to 10 because at that point in time, you're not getting him back. So how much are we... You're already getting a penalty because when you quote unquote buy him back, he's not coming back to you. However, behema my time mishum dekahajole. So the Gemara says, but by an animal, the animal's going to come back to you. The Gemara says, okay, but I'm with you. But then now, not the number 100, 100 times its value.
Why does the animal come back? Because once you get the animal back, you still have to pay out the value.
We're discussing right now, not the Kedushas Bechor. We're just discussing, you sold an animal to a non-Jew, we're just talking... No, we're talking about the animal, just the animal. So the Gemara says, I don't understand, 100, I can hear having to pay back 11 times the amount, meaning 10 plus another time because you are benefiting from the value. If that's the only issue and the only difference between a selling of a non-Jew, an Eved Kenani, versus selling of an Eved Kenani versus a sale of an animal, if the only difference is whether or not you get to enjoy it or you don't get to enjoy it, so then we should make a difference between 10 and 11 times its value. But Mishum dekahajale nikta say tfechad, go only one more. So the Gemara says, look, it goes like this. Eved Kenani, how often is it going to be sold? It's a milsa lo shchicha. Something that's uncommon. So since it's uncommon, so lo gazru bei rabban, the chachamim didn't make a gzeira. I guess that means over here that the chachamim didn't go ballistic, meaning not 100 times that amount. But the sale of an animal to a non-Jew, I guess it happens with some frequency. So there, the Chachamim said, okay, we're not going to stop. We're going to pull out all the stops. 100, you have to buy it back, and you have to buy it back 100 times that value. Okay, so so we just spent a couple minutes talking about the kenas, the rabbinic penalty. If, in fact, you sell an animal to a non-Jew, you shouldn't have done that. You have to buy it back. Two versions of Reish Lakish. The first version is you buy it back at 10 times, up to 10 times its value. Second version of Reish Lakish is you buy it back up to 100 times its value. Well, even if it's a shvura, even if it's a broken animal, it's machlok between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, but the Chachamim say... No, right. Only behema gasa, only large animals that could work. Correct. If it's a working animal, you're not allowed to. Okay.
If an Eved Kenani is taken, let's say, prisoner by Goy, he doesn't have to hold any of the mitzvahs that he's supposed to hold.
I mean...
Because if he does, then I don't see what's the big deal. Like a Jew was taken, he still has a mitzvah to keep.
Yeah, but you're the one who sold him, so in other words, the penalty is on you who sold him. You shouldn't have sold him.
Yeah. But on Eved himself, he still has to keep the mitzvahs, no?
Presumably.
Yeah.
I guess people don't normally. In other words, it wasn't common for the Eved Kenani to have been sold.
No, you can't.
So specifically sold to a non-Jew.
Eved, no, you can't. You're supposed to, but you can't keep them.
Right. That's the way I understand the Gemara as well. Right. The Chachamim and Chosman Sheayada Ovik Chachavim Amar of Yeshua Shnei Mikra Echadarshu. We have a basic machlokas going on over here. We're back to the topic of Kedushas Bechor. Okay. And we have a basic machlokas. Rav Yehuda says is that even if it's a partnership, it's still the firstborn is obligated in Kedushas Bechor. And meanwhile, the Chachamim say no. Anytime you have Yad Ove Kochavim, a hand of a non-Jew in the animal, so there will be an exemption. It creates an exemption. And the Gemara says both these positions are really learned from the same Pasuk. Kol Bechor, the Pasuk says Kol Bechor, back to my Bar Mitzvah Parsha. So the focus is on the word Kol. Rabbanan Zavri Bechor Mixas Bechor Mashma. Now the Chachamim say, here's our starting point. If the Torah would have just simply said Bechor, firstborn, it would mean even Mixas. Meaning, even if the Jew's interest in the animal is just a little bit, still the firstborn is going to be Bechor. And then Kasa Rachmana Kol Adi Ika Kule. And if that's a starting point, so what do we add with the word Kol? Kol Bechor? Meaning it's not just any interest of a Jew in the animal, full interest. It has to be 100% owned by a Jew in order to have, for the firstborn to have Kedushas Bechor. But if the Jew does not own 100% of it, so then it's just going to be exempt. Rav Yehuda Savar, Bechor Kule, Bechor Mashma. And Rav Yehuda says, no, the starting point is just the opposite. Had the Torah just said the word Bechor, it would have meant that the Jew has to own all the animal. And now, Kasa Rechmana Kol, Da'afilu Kol Dehu, and the Kol, what is that coming to tell me? Any amount, it's interesting, Kol can really go one of two ways. Kol can either mean all or any of it. Or the Gemara gives an alternative way to understand the machlokas. The word bechor means most of it, right? I guess operating with the principle of ruba kakula, most of the animal. Mar savar kol mashma lemuluye asa, or mar savar leguruye asa. And then, what's the kol coming to add? So according to the Chachamim, kol is coming to fill up the rest of it. Meaning bechor means rov, kol bechor means all of it. You need the Jew to own all the animal in order for the firstborn to have kedushas bechor. And Rabbi Yehuda goes the other way. Kol bechor is legruye, to take away from the majority, meaning even if a non-Jew, sorry, other way around, even if a Jew owns a minority, nevertheless, it's still going to have the kedushas bechor. And we go like the Chachamim, okay?
That creates a loophole.
As we will discuss later on this morning. The kamate should for shalve kochamate p'tur mina bechara. Yeah, so how much? Okay, we're going to go like the Chachamim. Any interest of a non-Jew in an animal is going to exempt the firstborn from having Kedusha. Okay, how much is any interest? How much? How much does he have to own? Am Rav Huna afilu azno. So Rav Huna says, even an ear, even if a non-Jew owns the ear of this, now we could say donkey, although we could also be talking about behemoth tahara, meaning this exemption is going to be a unilateral exemption for animals, both kosher and non-kosher. And of course, when I say non-kosher, I mean only the chamor. So afilu azno, maskefla Rav Nachman v'leim alei shkol aznech v'zil. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. An ear? An ear? So the Kohen goes over to the non-Jew and says, I'll tell you what, why don't you do this? Why don't you just keep your ear? Shkol aznech, and right, cut off the ear, and give me the rest of the animal. I right, that's crazy. An ear? So, Vizil, Itmar. Now, the Gemara says, is going to introduce us to two more opinions, that of Rav Chista and Rav. Rav Chista Amar Davish Oso Oso Nevela, and Rav Amar Davish Oso Oso Trefa. Rav Chista and Rav are going to basically disagree with Rav Huna, meaning an ear is really insignificant, not an ear. It's got to be something significant. Now, the two of them say it in two different ways. Rav Chista says something which would render the animal Nevela. Says Rashi, for example, let's say a non-Jew owned part of the trachea. Or let's say the non-Jew owned part of the esophagus. Okay. If we were to remove the trachea, if we were to remove the esophagus, the animal would be rendered a nevela. The life system of the animal, the chius of the animal is based on the trachea and the esophagus. Haraya, you shech the animal, you cut the trachea, you cut the esophagus, the animal's going to die. So therefore, he has to own that part of the animal, something where the life of the animal is suspended to this animal. And Rava says, Davisha also, so trefa, something that renders the animal a trefa. Now, they're basically saying the same thing. The Gemara points out what they're arguing about, but my kamifli, betrefa chaya laman, I'm sorry, betrefa chaya. What they're arguing about is, can a trefa live? One of the basic debates that took place back in Chulin, in the third perek, what is the prognosis of a trefa? Laman damar davish also so trefa kasav a trefa enu chaya. He's of the opinion that a trefa will not live. And so therefore, when he says trefa, he basically means, what's going to sustain the animal? A trefa will not live. So if the animal is a trefa, meaning if what the non-Jew owns in this animal would render the animal a trefa, had it been removed, that's significant. That's going to create an exemption. And the other position that says, no, it's got to make something the animal nevela, because he holds that a trefa will in fact live, and it's not enough. It's not enough ownership of a non-Jew in the animal to create an exemption. Now the Gemara would like to suggest the following. Look, and as Rashi and Tosfos both point out, Rav Chista and Rava argue, and we're not suggesting otherwise. But what we are suggesting, however, not suggesting, it seems pretty clear, they both argue with Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, how much ownership do you need from a non-Jew in order to create an exemption? Even the ear. An ear is an insignificant part. You just clip off the ear. I'm not trying to be, you know, cold-hearted over here. But in other words, it's not a life-threatening part of the animal. And Rav Huna says that even if you own the ear, even if a non-Jew owns the ear, that's considered a partnership, it creates an exemption. And Rav Chista and Rava say, no, it's got to be a significant part. Now, what the Gemara would like to suggest now is Rav Huna's not arguing with the other two Amorayim. Habo habi'imo. And the difference is that Rav Chista and Rava are talking about the mother. There, the non-Jew's partnership has to be significant in the mother in order to create an exemption for the fetus. And Rav Huna says that it only is an ear. He's talking about the fetus, where the non-Jew is purchasing ear of fetus. Okay? Amalu Rav Papa Maishna Bo Debi'ina Kol Bechor V'Leka Imonami Be'ina Kol Meknechati Zachar V'Leka. So Rav Papa says, I don't see the difference. Meaning, if it is enough partnership of a non-Jew in the fetus, it would be enough partnership in the non-Jew vis-a-vis the mother. I don't see a difference. I don't see a distinction. Ella loshna. It doesn't matter. Meaning, either you paskin like Rav Huna, and that would be true for both mother and fetus, or you paskin like Rav Chista and Rava, and that would be true for both mother and fetus. Okay. And by the way, that's seems to be the Gemara's conclusion, and we'll layer on top of that we go like Rav Huna. So that means then that if a non-Jew owns any amount of the animal, even the ear, it's going to create an exemption. Maskevla mar baravashi maishna minafalim da afagav de lav bar chiyusin inu kache. Now the Gemara is a little bit bothered. Look, a nafal, right? A stillborn. Right. It's going to have kedushas b'chor. Right, it gives birth, and what comes out, unfortunately, is not a viable fetus. But it was the firstborn, it's going to have Kedusha. Da'amamar, Petr Shegar Behema, Shegar Behema. Anything that is living inside the mother, that comes out, even though it doesn't come out as a viable fetus, is nevertheless going to have Kedusha as Bechor. But the Gemara answers very simply. Hasim Kevin Delo, Arivu Bechulin Karina Behema, Kol Bechor. The difference is very simple. When that stillborn comes out, it was a totality, a full entity of Bechor. Granted, it didn't come out alive. Granted that it was a stillborn, but it was 100% of a fetus, of a Bechor. But once you have a partnership of a non-Jew, so then you have Tarovis, then you have a mixture, and it's not Kol HaBechor. Okay, that's very simple. Okay, next part of today's daf, really the last part of today's daf, starts with a story. We heard the story already a number of times. Rav Elazar lo ala beis medrash. So the story starts off with Rav Elazar not going to the beis medrash. Yeah, Ashkechei le Rav Asi, you know where the story is going. So he finds Rav Asi, Amalei, my Amar Rabbanim beis medrash. Knew what was happening today in the yeshiva, what they talk about today in yeshiva, Amar Lei. I don't know, these are Amarayim clearly. Amarayim of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, after that, I can't tell you more information. I don't think so. I don't know. So, my Amar Rabbanan Be Medrasha. So, Am Alei Hach Amar Rav Yochanan. So, they quote in the name of Rav Yochanan, Afilu Mum Kal. Any blemish, meaning any ownership of a non-Jew in an animal, even that would render it a minor blemish. Now, let's be clear about this. We don't mean mum over. We don't mean a passing blemish, meaning something that will heal. Because if it's something that will heal, that's not a mum. It just simply means that, like the clipped ear, right? A permanent blemish. But it doesn't have to be even that significant. But something that would disqualify it from being brought as a carbon would be enough ownership to render an exemption. That's going like who? Like whom, I should say? That's like Rav Huna. Right? Rav Yochanan is basically going like Rav Huna. that you don't need significant ownership of a non-Jew and animal to create an exemption. That's point number one. And there's a second point that was said in the yeshiva that day. Let's say a sheep gave birth to a goat. A mutant. Right? Mutated fetus that comes out. We talk about this all the time. Apparently it was common back then. And so now what comes out of the sheep is a goat. Okay? The Eish Yalda Min Racho, the other way around, Petur Min Bechora. So there's an exemption, meaning it's mutated. The Im Yeshbo Mixas, the Manim Chayav Chayav. Now, if there is, however, Mixas Semanim, so if there's a little bit of resemblance to its mother, right, every time the baby comes out, oh, it looks like the mother. It doesn't, please. Okay, so the but nevertheless, so if it looks a little bit like its mother, so it's chayav. Now that is a mishnah. Now here's Rav Yochanan comment to that mishnah, which is mum kavua have lishchad alav, meaning even though it's chayav and bechora, but understand this, it's not going to be born on the mizbech, meaning because it's a mutant. Even though it bears some resemblance to its mother, but that's considered a blemished bechor, and so therefore you give it to the Kohen, Kohen Kishechta, right there and then. Kohen does not have to offer it on the Mizbeach. Fine. Now, Bishlam Amam Kal Kamash Malan Kedrav Hun Alafukim Medrav Chistav Rava. So the Gemara makes the point that we just made, which is Rav Yochanan agrees with Rav Huna that any amount of partnership that a non-Jew has in an animal would create an exemption of bechor. Good. And even if he owns an ear of the animal, that's enough to create an exemption. Good. And we don't go like Rav Chista, we don't go like Rava. Now, what's Rav Yochanan's second point? I'm not sure if that second point belongs to Rav Yochanan. Okay. But even if it doesn't, in other words, the second point that they learned in the Beis Medrash that day is that once there's a mutation of the fetus, it's considered a blemish. It's considered a mum, and the mutation would be that what came out did not resemble its mother. I need Rav Yochanan for that? Meaning that's a chiddush? That's a mishnah. The mishnah says, ufiv dama kishel chazir, hari ze mum. Let's say what comes out is a mutation, and the mutation is that the mouth of this baby looks like the mouth of a pig. Okay? So that is a blemish, and therefore it's not going to be brought as a carbon. V'chi tema. Now maybe you'll say, here's what Rav Yochanan added to the discussion. Hasam nishtana b'dav Hashem b'mino kadosh b'bechora. Hachan nishtana b'dav Hashem b'mino b'kadosh b'bechora. So maybe there, you're talking about, it looks like a pig. Now pig has no kedushas b'chor. Here, it looks like, a sheep looks, right, what comes out looks like a goat. We know it's a mutation, but at least it's mutated to something which could have Kedushas Bechor. So maybe it's different, and maybe that's why I need Rav Yochanan to tell me that's still considered a mum, and it's not going to be brought as a carbon. Hanami Tanina. We also learned that as well. Einu achas gedol v'achas ketana, v'tana gedola gedola kishel ego. U'ketana ketana shel ives. One eye is big, one eye is small. Now, bishlam ketana ketana shel ives ein b'mino kadosh. Now, one eye so small looks like the eye of a goose. That's how small it is. So bebechora, so ein mino kadosh bebechora. Ela gedolah kishal egel yesh bemino kadosh bebechora. Ela la mishum darmina kevin dishane havalei mumma. Even though the one eye is huge, it's big like a calf. Nevertheless, it's going to be disqualified. Why? Mutation. It looks different. And what do you see from that mishnah? Even though that which it looks like could have kedushas bechor, but the point is, it's a mutation. And once it's a mutant fetus, that's considered a mum. It's a blemish. So the Gemara says, "Lo mishum dehavalei sarua." So the Gemara says, "No, that's not the correct pshat." You know what the pshat is? Do you know why it's disqualified? Because it falls under the category of sarua. Now later on, Bechoros, we're going to get very familiar with the terminology of what the Torah describes as being disqualified and what that actually means. One of the things that we'll be learning later on in the Masechta is about the sarua, which will translate as one limb being bigger than the other limb, which is a physical blemish. If one eye is small and the other eye is big, that's also sarua.
It's
right? It's asymmetrical. Right? Very good. So hachinami mistarbet dinan mume eloim bein kvuim bein uverim poslin. Yasser aleim adam. And the Gemara says, and that's correct. And how do I know that that's correct? Because we're going to compare physical blemishes by animals versus physical blemishes by humans. Now, what does that mean, physical blemishes by humans? Kohanim. If you want to be a Kohen and serve in the Beis HaMikdash, you have to be free of physical blemishes. Now, whatever is a physical blemish by an animal is true by a human as well. And then we're going to add to that list. This is the Mishnah later on. Yes, sir, Aleim Adam. Ein av shtem gedom shtem ketanos gabi Adam hu dechstiv ish ish mizera Aaron debeinan isha vebezera shal Aaron. Let's say the Kohen is born with uncharacteristically big eyes or uncharacteristically small eyes. That's a blemish. Even, by the way, if both of them are big. Even if both of them are small. Ava behem shtem gedom shtem ketanos nami lo have mama. But if in an animal you have both of those eyes being huge eyes or both of them being small, it's not a blemish. So what do you see? That even though the eyes may be bigger or smaller than they normally are, that in of itself is not a blemish. It's because one is large and one is small. It's asymmetrical. That's the reason why it's a blemish. So the Gemara says, so what do you see? The issue is an issue of asymmetry. That because one is big and one is small, so therefore that's why it is blemished. Because it falls under the category of sarua. So the Gemara says, la'olam ein melacha mishum shinui. The Gemara says, no. I'm going to go back to our proposal, which is that it's a mutation. And, havimumo dekakash lachafilu shtem gedol shtem ketanos, and if the issue is mutation, so shouldn't we disqualify it even if both eyes are big or if both eyes are small? So the Gemara says, no. Imach mas b'yusa yisera tarvayu bai lemivre. Imach mas kechishusa yisera tarvayu bai mikresh. So the Gemara says, no. Because sometimes the animal is over-healthy. I'm going to suggest, although you know I'm not saying this medically, but it could be a hormonal issue. Right? Overproduction of it's an endocrinology problem. But you understand, the Gemara is basically saying it could simply be that the animal is just too healthy, and you're going to see two big eyes. Or the animal is kichush, too weak, and you're going to see two small eyes. But that's not even a mutation, meaning that's certainly not sarua, because sarua is asymmetrical. It's not even a mutation. That's just simply the animal. That's the animal. But if you see one eye big and one eye small, mutation. Okay. I guess. Okay, and we finish up today's daf with now halacha lamasa, practical halacha, which is now basically on this issue of Rav Yehuda the Chachamim. If there's partial ownership of a non-Jew in an animal, so the Chachamim say that's exempt. The firstborn of that animal will be exempt from Kedushas Bechor. It's Yad Ovechachavim. And Rav Yehuda says, no, it doesn't create exemption. But whatever shares is owned by a Jew is going to be obligated in Bechor. So who do we follow like? So the Gemara is going to tell us two stories. Story number one. Hahi girusa d'avim mesrin le'achei chiyusa leftuma. A woman converted to Judaism. Her brothers did not. And she kept in touch with her brothers. And she still conducted business with her brothers. And what her brothers did is her brothers gave her animals and they went on a venture capital. And the way that this business was orchestrated is that they gave her the animals. Her responsibility is to fatten up the animals, and they went 50-50 on the profits.
She had no husband, right? There's no husband involved.
Maybe she did. Maybe she brought the income in.
But she converted.
Okay.
Huh?
Profit of the fetuses? I'm not sure. I'm not even sure.
That's the problem, no?
There's
no, it's exempt from
before, right? Okay, so anyway, also, maybe you're right, Phil.
Why is she exempt?
Why? Because she's partners with her brothers. Her brothers are not Jewish. Also, kamei derava amar le, I'm sorry, amar la, he says to her, leis techash le lehad rav Yehuda, damar shetros avik chayeves bebechora. don't worry about Rav Yehuda's position. No one considers Rav Yehuda's position halach lamaasa, and so therefore you're fine. It's a partnership. It's just a regular business partnership.
Nothing to do with that.
No, it's just Maisa Shahaya. This actually happened. So, and they went over to Rav, and Rav says, you're good. Meaning the firstborn is really going to be exempt from Kedushas Bechor because of the partnership of the non-Jew. Okay, that's story number one. Okay, that's a good story. Story number two, not such a good story. Rav Mari Baruchel Havilei Aichi Yusam. Rav Mari Baruchel had a flock of animals. Hava makne leudnaihu laove kochavim. And what did he do? He would actually sell the ear of these animals to a non-Jew. To create a legal loophole. Absolutely correct. To create a legal loophole, and so that now there would not be kedushas bechor. V'asaluhu begiza v'avoda v'yavla lekohanim. Now, here the story gets strange. He forbade the shearing and the working of the firstborn animal. And in addition to that, he would give it to a Kohen.
So they were Bechor.
And then the story goes even stranger. Uklai Chiyusa de Rav Mari Baruchel. And his flock died. As kind of like divine punishment for what he did. So the Gemara says, I am... Wait. The Gemara is going to ask all the questions. wait. Let the Gemara...
One other question.
Let the Gemara ask the questions. Usually, that means that his father wasn't Jewish. I'm not saying that that's true over here, but that is an explanation. Right? Now, the Gemara says, this whole story is baffling. Bizarre. Meaning he was totally prepared to treat the firstborn animals like a bechor. He didn't work it. He didn't shear it. He gave it to a Kohen. Meaning he did everything as if it were a bechor. So why did he go through that legal loophole? That's strange. So the Gemara says, Dolama asu behuli de takala. So the Gemara says, you know what he was bothered by? Well, not bothered by, but worried about? He was worried about takala. Meaning, if I treat this with kedushas bechor and don't sell off a piece of it to a non-Jew, it'll really have kedushas bechor. And now you're talking about playing in the big leagues. Meaning, with real kedushas bechor, you can't work it, you can't shear it. And he's worried that something bad will happen to it.
Maybe he was worried about the lineage of the Kohen. Maybe it was a real Kohen.
I'm not sure if that... I'm not sure about that. I don't think that's the issue. Meaning, I think he's just worried about...
He would make a mistake.
So in order to protect him from any mistake, so you know what? He just simply removed the Ketushas Bechor. But he didn't jip the Kohen. He still gave the Kohen the animal. Right. So the Gemara says, so then I don't understand divine retribution. Meaning, all of his intentions are the best of intentions. So then why did he get divine retribution? So the Gemara says, Chiyusa de Rav Mari Mishum Damafkulu Metusha Saihu. Yeah, because what he did is he took away the Kedushas Bechor.
Right.
Shouldn't do that. That was wrong. So the Gemara says, I'm a Rav Yehuda Mutala Damato Momen Bechor Kodim Shiyasa Laviyar Olam. So the Gemara says, quoting Rav Yehuda, you're allowed to. In fact, you're allowed to go in utero, place a physical blemish on the animal prior to coming out, and that by which you will
lose its.
Now let's be careful about how we say this. What is it going to lose? It won't lose its bechor status.
It'll just
be a balmum.
Oh, right.
So the Gemara says, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. No, all you did over there was free yourself from the obligation of having to bring it on the mizbeach. Still need to give it to a Kohen. It still has Kedushas Bechor,
even
as a Balmum, it just doesn't need to be brought on the Mizbeach. Hacha, filim Kedushas Kohen, kamafkele. But you, by you selling the ear to the non-Jew, you have totally removed it from Kedushas Bechor, and that you shouldn't do. And that was wrong. Ibai Thema Rav Mari Barachal, Yada Laknui Kinyan Gamor, Vechazele Inishachrina. Or the Gemara makes another suggestion. And you know what that is? The other suggestion is, look, Rav Mari Baruchel did everything right, including selling the ear to a non-Jew. The problem is, he knew how to do kinyanim well. What about the person who was watching Rav Mari Baruchel? they're going to say to themselves, oh, I'll do the same thing, without knowing properly how to make kinyanim. And what's going to end up happening is he thinks a non-Jew actually owns part of the animal, but because he doesn't know how to make a kinyan properly, it doesn't actually belong to a non-Jew, and that firstborn actually has kedushas bechor. So he's setting a precedent which may not be able to be followed by the masses, and so that's why he received divine retribution. Tosos points out over here, our minog, look at the second Tosos on the page, our minog, let's just read the first couple lines. Masha in Nizharn Aksha Vafa Pisha Nenash Rav Mari Persh Rabbeinatam Rav Mari Nenash Lefisha Yamakna Azno Shal Ubar Viika Havka Beguf Ha Ubar Ava Hakna Beim Sharia. Thank you. And nowadays, right, this the divine retribution that Rav Mari suffered is because he sold the ear of the fetus. Okay. But what we do nowadays, says Rabbeinu Tam, is that we do create legal loopholes, but we sell the ear of the mother. Right. Oh, that's different, says Rabbeinu Tam. And that's totally legitimate, and that's what we do. Rabbeinu Tam says that's our minhag.
He's encouraged to do.
Encouraged to do that. And Rabbeinu Tam says, and even the Gemara was just, in other words, the fetus was prepared to come out with Kedushas Bechor. He sold the ear of the fetus. That's something which the Gemara frowns upon. But what we do is we sell the ear of the mother, and that's encouraged. And by the way, it's encouraged also because now you don't have to worry about Kedushas Bechor. You don't have to worry about Takala. So Rabbeinu Tam says that's fine. Okay, tomorrow, we finished. Tomorrow, I may start off with more points about Tosfos, because Tosfos takes on the issue which we've been alluding to for the past couple of days. How can you sell fetuses? How are you allowed to sell fetuses? It's a davar shelo bala olam. So tomorrow morning, maybe I'll open up with that next part of Tosfos. Good. Rabbi Chanani ben Akash Amar Tzakash Bach, Zakh Sofi, Chachir, Ben Tormisha, Shanaim, Arnei, Chafek, Samantzi, Kol, Yadot, Rabbi Yadir.